With a look at your latest local news, I'm Jevy Ebanks. The man accused of murdering his uncle will continue to stand trial next week. Demisio Frederick denies killing his uncle Christopher Johnson on New Year's Eve 2024. On Thursday, jurors heard a pre-recorded video testimony followed by in-person cross-examination from the deceased, Christopher Johnson's son. He told the court his father had picked him up from work on the morning of the day he was later found dead on Middle Road in Georgetown. He described their conversation during the drive and spoke about what he knew of the long-standing family rift between his father and his aunt, who is the mother of the accused. The court had previously heard about heated disputes within the family over the Middle Road property. Matters escalated further after valuables, including cash and jewelry worth more than $20,000, were stolen from the home of Mr. Frederick's mother in early December 2024. It was believed within the family that Mr. Johnson was responsible, though he reportedly denied the allegation. Earlier in the trial, jurors also heard evidence from Mr. Johnson's ex-wife, who is the mother of the son who testified. The trial continues on Monday at 10 a.m. in the main court building. A Jamaican man has been found not guilty of a single charge of rape. 35-year-old Terrence Orlando Reed has been on trial throughout the week, accused of raping a woman with whom he had previously been in a relationship with. The court heard that the pair met and soon entered into a sexual relationship, with at least two reported sexual encounters, one the complainant said was consensual, and another she said was not. Jurors were told that the relationship ended shortly after the woman saw another female leaving Reed's home and confronted him. Reed took the stand in his own defense throughout the trial, denying the allegations and giving evidence about how the relationship began, as well as discussing WhatsApp messages exchanged between the two. But a jury of five women and two men deliberated this afternoon and returned unanimous verdicts, clearing him of the charge. Justice Emma Peters presided over the trial, and defense attorney Greg Wolcomb represented Mr. Reed. He was formally acquitted and his bail conditions have been lifted. To the Parliament, the Minister of Finance used the day's sitting to spell out a series of budget moves he says were not foreseen when the 2025 spending plan was passed, but are now unavoidable. The Honourable Ralston Anglin says public sector pensions required an extra $1 million this year.
The actuary for the government's pension plans assessed that an additional $939,000 was required to meet the normal cost of the plans. As members will be aware, the government is required to fund the actuarially assessed annual contributions necessary to cover the benefits earned by current employees above the standard employer contribution rate.
The cost of insuring Cayman against hurricanes and other catastrophes is also going up, with an increase of $87,500 to the premium for the CCRIF facility.
The Caribbean Catastrophe Risk Insurance Facility provide member countries with rapid cash payouts within 14 days of a covered natural disaster based on the severity of the event and associated losses, enabling timely disaster and response and recovery.
The University College of the Cayman Islands is also receiving an extra help too, both to meet staff payment commitments and to clear long-standing pension issues.
Cabinet approved supplementary funding of $366,598 in January 2025 to cover these costs. Mr. Speaker, a one-off payment of $750,000 was required to settle a legacy pension liability relating to four retired members of staff of UCCI.
The minister also confirmed nearly $375,000 each in added grants to the CCC and Wesleyan Christian Academy School, aiming to stabilize their finances and upgrading facilities. On the capital side, Planning Minister the Honorable Jay Ebanks said $7 million is being moved within the infrastructure budget away from a submarine cable line and into land purchases and major roadworks.
This transaction was authorized in exceptional circumstances under the Act to support priority land acquisitions and major roadworks. In accordance with the Public Management and Finance Act, the government will bring forward a supplementary appropriation bill to seek the approval for this Honourable House for the appropriation changes.
The finance minister stressed that, taken together, the changes don't break Cayman's fiscal responsibility ratios because operating cuts elsewhere offset the new spending. He notes these exceptional transactions increase forecast capital expenditure by a net $1.2 million, but operating expenditure decreased by an equivalent amount. Parliament resumes on Tuesday, and you're encouraged to tune in on Monday for Youth Parliament. As we reported right here on Radio Cayman, MPs on both sides of the House greenlit the second reading of the Immigration Transition and Validation Bill. Debate on the bill included criticism of the Premier's decision that the bill was too urgent to allow for the usual 28-day publication period before heading to Parliament.
The message being sent is that scrutiny is unnecessary and accountability is optional. This is not how a serious government behaves.
Deputy Leader of the Opposition, the Honorable Kenneth Bryan, slammed the move to publish the bill on the 20th of February and then bring the bill to the House for consideration just 12 days later.
This House expects a 28-day notice period for non-emergency legislation. The government argues that they must rush this to meet the April 1st implementation deadline. But let's look at the calendar, Mr. Speaker. If the bill had been allowed to sit for 28 days required under our rules and conventions, it would have matured on March the 20th. The government could have respected the vital democratic process allowed for proper public scrutiny and still passed this law in time for the April 1st start date.
But Premier, the Honorable Andre Ebanks, stressed that the right to be Caymanian issue addressed by the third change in the bill is urgent and needs to be addressed immediately.
I was able to obtain the Cayman Islands ID, which says I am Caymanian. My driver, dropping me there to get it at the eGov office, said, well, we might as well kill two birds with one stone and not go get mine. He was told he got to go get a letter to say he's Caymanian, and said, Premier, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to get that ID. We've got nearly 1,600 Caymanians who are in this bind. This is too urgent to delay.
The bill was given its second reading with 18 ayes and one abstention. You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. Parliament is looking to expand and it's potentially eyeballing the land that currently houses the Cayman Islands craft market. The topic was raised as a parliamentary question to the Minister of Tourism, who said there were currently no plans to relocate the craft market, which prompted Planning Minister, the Honourable Jay Ebanks, to take to the floor of the House.
The craft market that sits behind the Parliament here, the management of Parliament itself, is looking for the expansion of that land to the back. So it wouldn't be fair to say that whether the government or the tourism is looking to move the craft market. It is us within the management of Parliament is looking to move the craft market because we are asking for the land for the expansion of this Parliament. And because of that expansion, we will have to see that the craft market is moved somewhere else.
Mr. Ebanks explained to the questioner, MP Kenneth Bryan, that the tourism minister wasn't yet aware of the potential expansion project.
All due respect to the Minister of Tourism, the Deputy Premier, would not know that because he does not sit on that management.
I think this is a classic case of government not talking to each other.
It's not that nobody in the government knows what's going on. That particular item has not reached caucus and cabinet stage as of yet for the decision on that. So I just want to clarify that, sir.
Craft Market was developed by the government to provide an avenue for local artists to showcase their unique and indigenous products and is currently on North Church Street near the Waterfront Shopping Center in central Georgetown. It's a big day for the Radio Cayman family, as announced in the House of Parliament earlier today.
I'm happy to update this House that the caucus has agreed to rename Radio Cayman Building, the Loxley Banks Building.
Premier Andre Ebanks says it's important to recognize our pioneers and the role Mr. Banks has played in the establishment, development, and growth of Radio Cayman over the past 50 years. Deputy Governor, the Honorable Franz Manderson.
I judge performance not in times of comfort, but in times of discomfort. And what stands out in my mind, Mr. Speaker, is I grew up listening to Mr. Banks, but what stood out in my mind was his performance, outstanding performance, during Hurricane, after Hurricane Ivan, or before and after. The only radio station that was up, he seemed like he lived there for days and weeks, keeping us updated, giving us safety tips, actually inspiring us, Mr. Speaker, to get through all of the havoc that we were experiencing.
Shortly after the announcement, we had the chance to catch up with Mr. Banks as he toured the renovations in progress at the station.
Sitting in the chambers of the Legislative Assembly and hear the official announcement that they were going to name this building that has housed Radio Cayman over the last, some 50 years, 52 years, in honor of myself. That was not something that I ever thought, would come along.
While humble about his own role, Mr. Banks remains passionate about the importance of Radio Cayman then and now.
Radio Cayman was created to serve the community in any way that it could. And I think that the young folks coming up should pay more attention to the programming that Radio Cayman produces on our history, our culture, and what Cayman is all about, because what you see here today didn't just spring up here. It is built on the foundation that our forefathers created. And I think today's generation have to be aware that they have to maintain this. It's in their interest that they maintain this kind of cultural and heritage position going forward.
The Premier says there will be an official ceremony for the Loxley Banks Broadcasting Center, and here at the newsroom, at Mr. Banks' request, it will be renamed as well, Caymanian journalist, the late Doran Miller. The National Festival of the Arts is picking up momentum, and K-Fest on Film kicks off in Cayman Brac this week.
The program is so diverse. We have filmmakers who are just starting out. We have documentary filmmakers, people who've sent in visual poems that are absolutely poignant, thought-provoking. We have feature-length films, and of course, with all the bluff fever that is going on right now, we couldn't resist. We have an earlier film by Frankie Flowers. It's almost 10 years old now, called Toxin.
K-Fest on Film curatorial panelist Rita Estevanovich invites you to the Alexander Hotel this Sunday for a special showcase of local films for all ages and audiences. You can get a full breakdown of tomorrow's lineup on kfestonfilm.ky. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks.